Hey, it's Emily, the host and creator of the Modern Romantic Podcast. I just wanted to let you know of something you may not be aware of, and that is we sometimes reference the chat or an audience during our show, and that's because we record via a live stream. So we actually have a live show on Mondays and the occasional Sunday, and you can tune in too and be part of that live audience. It is via chat through our social media network. So when we're streaming live on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, and YouTube, you can join in the chat and we can see it. And so can our guest, and we can answer your questions and respond to your comments and see everything. You can be part of that community. We'd love for you to be there. So join us sometime. Head to our website to check out our social media links and when we're streaming live. That is www.themodrom.com.
Welcome to the Modern Romantic Podcast, where we celebrate and inspire romanticism through passionate people doing incredible things. Hi, it's 2024, and I'm still trying to make fetch happen. I am Trey. Tonight, Emily is unfortunately under the weather. She will be back with us next week. We look forward to having you back on the podcast, Emily. Tonight, I am very, very excited. We were bonding backstage over our mutual love of Star Trek, and that we found out that we were randomly in the same spot in Star Trek. Tonight, our guest is a Microsoft project manager turned tie-dye artisan, DJ, and the founder of the Twisted Artist Guild. From embracing art after a therapist's suggestion to envisioning a tech-infused artist guild, Bob's story is a fusion of creativity and innovation. Welcome to the podcast, Bob.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here, Drake.
Yeah, glad to have you on. One, I could not believe, one, that we were in the same spot of Star Trek, but I'm really intrigued by this idea of this suggestion that you had to move into looking at a tech-infused artist guild. And I want to get to that point. But can you tell us a little bit about how you got to this point? How did Bob become Bob 2024?
That's a long story. We'll talk about a little bit of it. How about that? So okay. Let's go back to my undergrad. I'm currently in a master's program. I'll get to that. But my undergrad, I did a math degree. I started as a computer scientist because I've always just enjoyed the computers, working with the internet. So a bit of a tech nerd since an early age, you know, breaking computers and fixing them up and making them work again. So working on a math degree, hey Emily, miss you. Working on the math degree, worked in the networking department, learned fiber optics, eventually came into my career. But at the same time, I was actually making tie-dye just for the heck of it. It's something I enjoyed doing with my friends. I think my sister and I did it for the first time ever, and it was just something fun to do, and I could teach people as a skill. It's also sort of a math at the same time. You know, you're doing transformations, there's geometry involved, color theory, a little bit of chemistry. So it's, you know, it was technical to me. I would never call myself an artist. Fast forward a few years, I ended up getting a divorce, you know, long story there, but my therapist at the time told me to go be creative, so I jumped back into making tie-dye and figured out who I could give it to. I tried to sell tie-dye for a while back in college. Didn't work out. It wasn't all that successful because mostly I would get cash and I could spend it at the bar and have a couple of drinks while I was sitting there vending at an event, that kind of thing. So after getting myself into a little bit of trouble there, I decided not to sell it again and just go be creative, go be artistic, go follow my therapist's advice. That led me into buying some poi and going to my first music festival ever, and I started playing with the poi, and actually somebody took them from me and asked me if they could give me a show, and I just blew my mind. They were so good. So the talent I saw there kind of inspired me to become a flow artist of sorts. It was very casual, just something I do. You know, where I used to do kung fu back in college originally, I could apply those skills to this, and it turned out I had some you know, ability for it. So absolutely, you can join the guild. Sorry, Kayla Swag asking if you can join the guild. I'll give details on how you can do that later. Sorry, ADHD, I'm watching the screen. Yeah, I'll try to keep on track here. I have to go full screen so I can stay on track. Okay, so where was I?
flow artist. Someone had taken your poi.
Yes, so showed me some interesting poi tricks, how to, so I learned that deeper. I ended up getting in the staff as well because I had learned bow staff back in Kung Fu. Eventually, I found my way into a fire eating class at Studio Satira, which I believe is now Bloom Movement Artistry. Shout out to Satya and Sarah. So that taught me how to make a wick, and I lit it up and did a little bit of fire eating, and that kind of got me hooked from there. I kept going. I learned how to do the fire poi, fire staff. I eventually got turned onto the dragon staff as well, and that's probably my favorite prop at this point, eventually adding, what do you call it, rope dart as well. So at this point, I'm pretty experienced with those. I've actually become a professional artist. I do accept the title of an artist now, because I've actually gone out there, become not a theater kid, but a theater adult, and I've helped out with a number of performances at this point. I've, you know, my extensive, you know, tech bro resume also has art. You know, my professional name here is Campfire Cirque, not incorporated or anything, but that's just what I'm going by at this point. So that's kind of my journey with art. Oh, also, I just happened to pick up DJing too. It's none of those technical skills. So that therapist made a good recommendation for me. I love doing some drum and bass. That's where my heart is at this point. Definitely some liquids, some aerofunk. I'm all over the place with my hobbies. As we were talking about doing the research on the Star Trek earlier, I've got so many things I'm already doing. What's one more?
Okay, so let me just summarize everything that I've heard so far. You are in a master's program. You are a project manager. You love to do tie-dye. You're a DJ. You're a flow artist. You've learned poi. You've learned a little bit of fire eating.
It's hard.
And you're also trying to get started up an artist guild. Sir, how do you have time?
I don't. I really don't. It's the ADHD. That's why I'm a very good project manager, actually, because when the room's on fire, I'm the calmest guy in the room. When it's super calm around, I'm like, oh my God, my thoughts. Why are my thoughts here? So, yeah, just another neurodivergent out there doing my thing. Yeah.
That is, honestly, that is so cool. And I think it speaks to like other artists that we've had on the show who, while their main artistry and maybe like in one thing, when they've talked to us, it's been so many different avenues to explore. What about the suggestion made you want to go try getting back into tie-dye, and what made you look into doing poi specifically?
The tie-dye was the immediate thing. It's just something I knew how to do. It's something I like to wear, obviously. Actually, this is not even my own tie-dye. I supported an artist by purchasing this. Mm. But it's one of the things that I always just liked. So tie-dye was immediate, and then I was really into reggae music for the longest time. So signed up for my first reggae festival, bought poi just as I was buying stuff to prepare for the festival. And once I had whoever that was, it showed me that performance of Friday night, man, that blew my mind. And I've been playing with them since, like hardcore playing with them.
One of the things that you said to us before the show started and in some of the information we found is that you called tie-dye mathematics. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more? Because when I look at it, I'm just blown away. So how is tie-dye mathematics?
It's because I can look at something that somebody else has made, and I can deconstruct how it's put together. That's why I would say there's a lot of math involved into it. So I can see the reflections, I can see the transformations. And this is only after doing it for such a long time. Like, you can see I put a spiral here, we got some pleats over here, we followed this line over here. And some of that's just from studying other people's work on YouTube and learning from that. It's mostly how I taught myself. But it's basically I can reproduce it. It's a skill more so than it is an art to me, even though it is with pretty colors and they can make it look good by the end of it. So as a tie-dye artisan, I would call myself an artisan and not an artist. And that was an important distinction for me for the longest time. I can't explain why anymore, but I do, it is art. Tie-dye is definitely art, and I've seen some amazing stuff out there. People that can spend 12 hours working on it. Just having one of those conversations this weekend, looking at somebody's portfolio and just like, oh my goodness, because ADHD, I spend 20, 30 minutes on the shirt and I'm done. So
this will be a two-part question. One, what is the coolest shirt that you've ever seen tie-dyed and how did they do it? And then two, how did the artists that you're currently wearing, how did they make that shirt? I wonder if you can tell us how they deconstructed that.
Oh, I'll have to. This one's looks like a spider here. So you can see the line of symmetry here, and then they put a twist to it here. And then there's a soft side and a strong side after you make that twist on a table. And so the strong side is what you see here in the black lines. They use the black to go over top of it. And then on the other side, they started with the colors. So the green, red, yellow. So they went out and loops from there. So that's just deconstructing the shirt here. Yep.
Wow.
So that's the combination of the spiral and using your strong line versus your soft lines to know where you're filling in that color. So the most intricate stuff that I see out there, that is, there's some Instagram accounts, and I can't name them off the top of my head. They are so complicated, it hurts my face. Like it's so much. But they're using a lot of the wax sinew, and they're tying up very tight, and they're using tiny bottles with like smaller nozzles, so you can actually control the flow that comes out of it. I'm using quart bottles that I've cut like a pretty extensive amount of the nozzle off, and I've got fast flow, and I get my colors in there in a couple of minutes. And they're spending 12 hours working on colors. I don't have the attention span for it. So, but yeah, you can get some crazy designs out of that. So go take a look at some of the crazier stuff. And these are, these artists are charging for their time at 12 hours working on a piece. So these can be very expensive shirts that you can find. So you'd be amazed at some of that art.
I honestly am just amazed at the one that you're currently wearing, and for our listening audience, has these incredibly thick, broad black stripes with like almost a ring pattern going towards the center of alternating red, green, yellow, red, green, yellow, so on and so forth, and kind of this very bold, bold pattern. But it looks... Colors. Do what?
Rasta colors. This is sort of the reggae phase of my life.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. So for stuff like that, I don't always pick up on that, but that's awesome. Thank you for pointing that out.
Of course, yeah. And there were specific reasons where I was like, ooh, like that's why I purchased this shirt. It was the right colors. It was the right fit. It's so comfy. And it's fire safe. I don't know. Tie-dye and fire flow go together hand in hand. Because tie-dye is fire safe.
Is it really? I would have thought it was more flammable.
It is certainly flammable. It's not that it won't catch on fire. It's that it won't melt to your skin. It'll burn to ash. That's the fire safe part.
Okay.
So because it's 100% cotton or rayon, it's natural fiber. It's not a polyester or the like. And that's where you're in trouble with fire flow.
Okay. So, Emily, the next time that you have a quarterstaff that is lit on both ends, now we know that you can wear tie-dye safely.
So I can give you a whole safety plan for it. Project manager here. I wrote one recently last August, actually, and gave it to Byrne for their safety program.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So in terms of kind of moving on towards like the flow arts and that sort of thing, you had commented that you were kind of shy about the flow art. Can you talk to us a little bit about maybe why?
It's the same anxiety I'm feeling right now. It's just performance anxiety. 100% shy about it at first. I remember playing with them behind people because it was awkward with it. It's, you can hit yourself in the face. I still get performance anxiety every time I go on stage and light up. But then once I start hearing the crowd woo, you did something that they're impressed with, especially so when it's other fire performers and you can actually impress them. Then yeah, that's the good feeling that keeps me coming back for more. So it's yeah.
For some people, and myself included, sometimes that performance anxiety will prevent us from getting back on stage. So I'm curious, how do you overcome that? Do you have a mantra, or what? How do you overcome it?
I'm just a little crazy, I think. I don't have a better answer than that. I learned to rock climb because I'm a little afraid of heights. I learned to scuba dive because, well, I just like the water. I wasn't scared of it. I want to go cave diving because I'm a little scared of it. So yeah, it's just how I am. I like will learn to do something responsibly and understand all the intricate little steps there, and I have to go through and learn skills. It's all skills.
It is, but I also love that you approach it from, I'm a little bit scared of this, however, I'm still going to try it. There's some phrase, and I'm going to quote the Cinderella story movie with Hilary Duff for a second, and don't let the fear of failing keep you from playing the game. And I think back to that, but there are still some moments, even where I am as an artist now, where that fear almost kind of prevents me from doing or trying something. So I love that you are particularly approaching it from, I'm afraid, however, I'm still going to try something safely and get used to it that way. I think that's really smart, and it speaks to you as a person.
Thank you. I think that's one of my better qualities, actually, is I do try to do the crazy things, but do them in a way that's going to be sustainable, if nothing else. You know, if you get constantly thrown off and trespassed from people's property because you're a fire flowing because you didn't ask permission, you didn't have your insurance in place, like, eventually you have nowhere to play. So do it right.
Yeah. Also, I love that we have a camera cat right now.
This is Evergreen. She's a little mischievous.
Hi. Emily also has a black cat who's named Velvet, so I'm glad that we got to at least have another cat here tonight.
Yeah, she'll eventually settle into my lap, but she is in for the loving mood at the moment, so Ambergris.
And you said it's Ambergris?
Ambergris, that's the name that she had at the shelter, so.
Well, that's cute.
Apparently I am officially a Disney princess because I have an animal.
Yes, and thank you, Kaz. Want to go back for just a moment. Archer in our chat said, my flaming sword only goes with the leather armor, so that's fair. That is fair.
There was a lot of that this weekend. I just came back from a burn, in fact, so yeah, it's all leather armor and flaming swords and not necessarily together, so
yes,
it goes with the culture. I feel like I've joined the circus at this point, and I live my life like it, so.
And I also want to make sure in our talk about safety, you said that you are an insured fire performer. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's correct, yep. Yes. So it's a performance artist, if you will, if you want a general term for it. I have liability insurance that, you know, protects me and the venues that I perform at in case something did happen. So it's... something was required for a festival that I wanted to perform in, so I got it, and I'm happy to have it. And I honestly now don't feel bad for charging for my time when I do a hired gig. You know, before it was, oh, I'm not really that good, I'm not an artist, you know. But now it's, hey, I pay for insurance, I want to recoup some of that. So yeah, there is a business element to it.
Give me that money.
And it's the rates are surprising too, but you only get hired for a couple of hours, if that. So, but your rates have to be up there to account for all the time you're traveling and, you know, all the business money that you have to put out there, your liabilities. Yeah, you gotta stay competitive in the market and not undercut your competitors either.
Absolutely. So for you, like if you're mocking up a business plan, let me backtrack a little bit. Sure. So say that you are talking to someone that is looking at charging for their time, and they're wanting to establish like a rate for their time. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you determine that for yourself, and what recommendations do you have for someone that's trying to determine their own rates?
Gotcha. I went to other experienced people in the community. Queen City Cirque is who I can shout out to here. And just ask my friends like that have been doing this for years and are professional performers themselves what their rates are. I don't know that I want to get into it because I think it might be market-based, and I don't want to say that I am the expert on what the rates should be. Sure. But I do know that you should, you know, we should be pricing our rates to make sure that we're making it to where the people that do this for a living are also able to live in that pool, as opposed to like, oh, I'll take $50 for coming out there and performing for the next 4 hours. It's important to be part of the community, to understand your community as you go into it as a business professional.
Absolutely. What are some of the considerations? You've mentioned your time, you mentioned travel. What are maybe some other things that someone should consider when they're looking at that?
I look at overall cost for the year. Myself, it's, you know, paying for insurance on a regular basis. There are, you know, if you're trying to actually get hired out there on a regular basis as opposed to a side gig, like I'm approaching my performance art, but there, you know, you've got the websites out there that you can advertise yourself on, and I'm not sure of the pay structure of all that stuff, you know, whether it's a liability or not, but it's the time to actually go out there and market yourself and get people that are interested and have them agree to pay you and get the payment done, for that matter. You know, it's there's a lot more time to it than just that, than just being there at the performance, getting, you know, making people go, ooh.
It really is. So we're going to do an impromptu marketing ploy for you right here. So if you were to describe your personal performance style in 3 words, how would you describe yourself?
Chaotic to some extent. Just because I don't do well with making acts. I go out there and practice my different skills in different ways and see how they combine together. And sometimes I unlock things in front of other people that I didn't mean to. How else do I describe it? Relatively simple and I don't want to say subwoofer driven. I like the bass and I do enjoy when I can get into the right tempo with the song and find that right groove to where you're actually interpreting a song and actually making a performance as opposed to going out there and showing off your practice routine.
Yes, I can say that I have seen performances like that before. Are there songs for you that you find yourself kind of jiving with, or do you kind of vary it and play different songs when you go out and perform?
I have my preference on songs. Anything reggae that I know by heart, drum and bass especially, the stuff that I like to DJ. But the problem is when I'm DJing, I can't DJ for myself. I do need to record a set so I can just hit play and go have an hour of songs that I know, which would be great. But a lot of this is actually performing to... I actually did the country, and I'm not a fan of country at all. But on New Year's Eve, I was hanging out with my friend at his family farm, and, you know, they said I could play with my fire, so I brought it out and got my safety ready and flew to country that I don't even enjoy, but it was a challenge to do. So, and you know, you find that groove still and show off for the crowd, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. And all the like kids were like high fiving me, like, "Hey, that was so cool!" it was fun. It was good New Year's.
I have to say that kids are one of those just the best things at performance, because if you can impress them, like, done. You are right. You are.
there was such confidence boosters too. Like, thanks guys, appreciate it. You know, I always love the high fives after a performance, or even like hugs. You know, we all hug each other as we get done with an amazing act. Like, oh my god, that was so good. Like, you were so great. I love that. I love that community. I love that community.
Yes, we do the same thing in theater, and it's like after the curtain goes down, it's just like, oh yes, we did it. Oh.
We always had a song at the end of Bloom, the festival I worked with in Charlotte, and so we'd all come out to center stage and just dance with each other and have a good time and just celebrate. You know, it's always good. It's always good.
One question that I'll ask the chat here, and we'll come back to it in a second, is if you had to pick a song that to celebrate the achievement of something, like something big that you just finished doing, what would it be and why?
I don't know that I can name a song. This is one of my weaknesses on ADHD. I don't know that I can name a song, Trey. Mostly because the way I DJ, I just go through and find something that I'm like, oh, I like that artist, and I play it, and it works. And that's where we go. The song that's coming to my mind right now is Bass Tripper in the City. That one has been a celebratory song for me.
Okay.
So, Bass Tripper in the City. That is, it just kicks. I love that song.
Bass Tripper in the City. I'm going to fully admit that I don't have never heard of that song before, but I cannot wait to listen to it.
There's at least 100 people out there in drum and bass circles that are like, oh, this song, like, come on. but I don't care. It's a good song.
If you like it, that's the only thing that matters.
That's how I DJ. I'm like, ooh, that's it. I love that song. We play that one for everybody.
There's somebody on TikTok that does like a series of things that if you're DJing at somebody's wedding and they're really into, and then they insert some sort of fandom that's there with really popular music.
That guy's funny. He does a good job. Yes.
I think I watched the one with Final Fantasy VII music, and it was the Sephiroth theme song came on, and it was just, how is this working? But it is.
When you can make those things happen, I also saw one that he did a Star Wars mashup.
Yeah.
So that happened to me early in DJing. I wasn't in electronic music hardly at all until I get into the burner scene about 2017, 2018. I remember my friend was teaching me how to DJ, and I found this like Star Wars theme song, and it just started so heavy with the Imperial March, in fact. But I was able to bring another like house track up, and it worked together, and it was like, oh my God, how did this like... Okay, it works, but awful, but it works. I don't know. It was a fun experience to, like, even if it's discordant at first, you can make a couple of little adjustments, and then all of a sudden this, like, beautiful mixture can come out. But that's fun to do.
God bless music. I have to give a shout-out to my coworker, Chell, who's also DJ. I've only listened to a few things from their sets, but I came in one time and they had up the Circle of Fifths to understand key structures, key signatures. They were telling me all of these things that they had learned, and did you know that this song and this song have the same RPMs, and that this song and this song have like are in the same key signature, and they were trying to figure out ways to do different things. So from my perspective, it was just so much fun to watch someone getting into this for the first time and start to understand like deeper concepts and then just go so full force into it. It was really, really enthralling to watch. So Chell, if you're listening, hi, thank you for listening. But also it's really fun, and I hope you keep going with DJing.
Thanks. I actually am looking to get into studying music theory a little deeper. I'd learned a little bit when I played trumpet back in high school band. But at this point, it would be very helpful for me to learn to play piano, and I could learn to DJ, produce music. So I'd love to take reggae songs and make them into drum and bass. I will eventually get there, but it's a hobby I can't afford time-wise right now. but next step on that is learning how to play piano. And learning the Wheel of Fifths. Somebody was telling me about that. Sounds like an interesting concept, but I don't know the concept, but I can hear when it's off. So I'm kind of the non-theory, but learning some proficiency in that route.
What's really, really dumb about me is that at work, I pay attention to sounds just randomly. And so what I've learned is that the scanners that we have to like badge into different places are all set to different pitches. They're all the same machine, but they are all set to different pitches. And one is a minor third higher than the others. And then the two that are like close to each other, one is like a semitone off. So when two people scan at these two things, like back to back, it is one of the most discordant sounds I have ever heard. And it is just
I completely understand.
So mind numbing.
hearing two different songs with bass lines hitting into different, like, I have to go into the field of one or the other. I can't stay in the middle because I can't handle it. Oh my gosh.
No.
That expertise that you gain makes the world flavored in different ways, isn't it? I spend a lot of time looking at telephone poles for my real job, because I know cables at this point. So I'm like, oh my god, look what they did over there. And people are like, what are you looking at, a bird? I'm like, no, the telephone pole. I'm sorry, you know. I'm sure you've had the same where you're like listening to the beepers at work. Yeah.
We'll talk about that after the podcast, but I have actually stared at telephone poles because I'm trying to figure out which parts of the telephone pole are part of what part of services that are being provided.
Could absolutely do that for you. Yep. Depending on what the shapes of the little boxes are at the corners of it, I can tell you like what kind of service is up there and what it's probably feeding. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk after the podcast.
Definitely not art related, unless you're going to talk about the art of cabling, but we're not going there.
No, but I will tell you that copper is in short demand at the moment because of certain things. Anyway, that is going to get into a whole different subject. But the one thing that I would love our audience to know more about is that you have taken so much of this passion for art, for flow performance and for Tide, and you've also recognized the work that other artists do out in the community, and that you are actually working to set up an artist guild. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I'd love to. Actually, this is how we came to be here. Emily was in the art guild and asked if anybody wanted to be interviewed. And I was like, well, I could talk about the guild itself. So, in its current form, the guild is simply a Facebook group where we come together, we share pictures of our art, we talk about our experience. Every once in a while, I make a poll to ask questions that I'm using for market research. In the end, I want to, my 2024 New Year's resolution is to form the guild. To get this going, I need to pull a board together. We're going to make a website that starts off as a sales platform, you know, the Etsy, if you will, to make your listings and sell your art, whether that be digital, physical, or like in person, if you're teaching classes, that kind of stuff. Anything that the typical artist would do. And I, as I've been in this process, looking at this over the past, you know, call it 5 years that I've been working on this idea. All the different types of artists share pretty much the same business requirements. You know, you still have to ship things, even, you know, you still have to buy things, you have to get the supplies for your project, you have to project manage, you have to bring everything together. I think I can help with starting on a sales platform to evolve this into a whole structure that helps to help artists everywhere to do their art full time, to do more art than business. And I see you, Sunny, in the chat. It's good to see you. I missed you over the weekend.
Hi, Sunny. Welcome to the podcast. And Kaz, please don't think that I was ignoring you. Hello, Kaz. Welcome in. I love that. You are wanting to bring a whole host of people together in order to give them an easier platform, in order to make this more of a sustainable option for their livelihood.
Absolutely.
So probably the question I think on everyone's mind right now is, who can join this guild once it's up and running?
Literally anybody that's in a creative endeavor of any sort. So, of course, early on, the focus is going to be the well-established artists that we can bring in and help to design tools that make their lives easier. And then the idea is to take that, you know, lessons learned in project management lingo, but also utilizing economy of scale. So if we can basically group together all of the artists and say all in Texas or North Carolina, which are the first two places I'm intending to start, really this will be a national sales platform where anybody can come in. But as we go to ramp up, I think it's going to take a state-by-state approach, because this is further than just, hey, I'm going to give you a website to go sell stuff. You can do that on eBay. You can go sign up for Eventbrite and sell your tickets, that kind of thing. What's going to be different is this is a business tool platform. This is this is worksheets to help you determine your pricing. It's, you know, advice on the community, because we know the prices that are selling for other artists. You know, set your price point to be here for this type of art that you put this that much time into. It's taking all of the, you know, the knowledge and expertise that, that just like me going to my friends in Charlotte that taught me how to fire safety, you know, I'm teaching fire safety here in San Antonio. You know, it's a community. We help each other. This is how I want to bring everybody together, and basically be their IT department. I'm going to give you a website. We're going to give you, you know, timesheets so you can track your employees, event management modules so you can pull together your organization, your volunteers to host that event, throw that show, sell tickets to your gig, sell your merchandise at the back of the show if you're in a band. You know, you set up the event, you send the contract, you have a, you know, where your employees are doing their timesheets, anything you might need as a business, the stuff that a large corporation gives to their employees, that's what I want to give to artists, independent artists. You know, I don't want any creative control over anybody. We're just going to give you tools and let you go do art as much as you can. That's my dream here.
That is, I love this as a concept. It's right. So for me, one of the things that has kind of like held me back from doing certain things is the management of everything by myself. Mm-hmm. So for like, if my YouTube channel, say, were to get to a point where I needed, some additional assistance, I needed an artist to make the keynotes, for the video, or I needed a video editor for this part. In order to make sure that they're getting paid and that I've got resources in order to do that, this sounds like something that many people would really benefit from. And I mentioned like the YouTube thing. I also want to ask what kind of artist are you looking to market this to?
Literally anybody. I had struggled with this in my business class last semester with my professor. He's asking what my audience is, and anybody that makes art is going to be welcome to join this guild. That's the, you know, full-time performance artists. That's people making, you know, welding and making sculptures that ship, you know, 1,000-pound pieces. That's people spray painting art on the sidewalk and selling it, you know, selling their live art. It's artists painting at a festival. That's the people running the festival itself and hosting the bands. Literally any type of art out there. And then the point of the guild is to help those artists reach their actual audiences. So it'll, you know, be a wider percentage of the public that would be coming to the guild and its, you know, websites to get the service they need, but it would be coming into like finding the specific artist, whether it's a local artist that's in your town. You know, there's going to be lots of that if you're going to performance art, for sure. So if you're going to buy a ticket, you know, it's probably going to be a 2-3 hour drive maximum so you can actually get there on time, or you're making other arrangements kind of thing. But as far as like, you know, artists that are sitting there and on their couch crocheting right now listening to this podcast, like I want everybody. I even want artists that aren't intending to sell their art. This is not, I'm not trying to do this as a $1 billion idea. I have a bigger vision than that. I want people to come just show their art off to the world, you know, make a piece, put it up there, make a portfolio and never sell it. That's perfectly fine. I'll never have a problem with that. I'll do it myself. I don't sell my tie-dye. I just like to show it off.
Heck yeah. Okay, now I do have to ask. If someone came up to you and said, I want to buy one of your tie-dyes, would you sell that?
Yeah, if I'm going to spend some time on it, yeah. But actually, most of the time, I don't take money for tie-dye at this point, but it's because I've got one made and like, hey, this will fit you. Here you go. Merry, you know, happy birthday kind of thing. So. Yeah. but whenever a friend is like, hey, I really want to make tie-dye for my whole family, like, okay, come on over. We'll go to the studio in my garage and we'll make tie-dye. That's the easy way to do that. And then I'll have to take an order. Yes. Yeah. Sloppy ADHD brain. I need an app so I can keep track of everything for my business. And yes, then I can be more successful with it, because I'm not capable of doing all this stuff on my own. I need an IT team. Like, that's where this idea came from. It's like, how can I do this for myself? And wait, if I build this for myself, I can build this for other people. And that's where this idea spawned.
That's awesome. There's there's this thing of this mentality of if you cannot be successful with your art, then you go do something else. And so much of the time there's a missed opportunity, whether you are a singer and like a sculpturist or whatever kind of art that you have, of you can still find avenues in order to have success. It's defining how to get that success and making sure that you've got the resources in order to do that. And sometimes it takes people who know parts of the business or who have experience doing that, getting involved with organizations like this, in order to be that support system.
Absolutely. And I don't know that I'll have the specifics on, because I, like I said before the show, I'm not an artist, or I didn't consider myself an artist for a long time. I don't understand all aspects of it. This would be, you know, a community that comes together for the general purpose of the business side of it. So I'll definitely want to help enable making events happen. If you're a singer, I don't necessarily know how to help network you, but I'm sure that as we start making the network within the, you know, that kind of performance artist in a state or a region, whatever the case may be, that they can come together and share their expertise together. So I do have a vision of even setting up in like an art organization within the guild, to go out there and interview the artists, to get to know them, talk about their art, and do kind of like you guys are doing here in the Modern Romantic, to just spread awareness and you know, get the vision out there. But also this could be where I'm using this for market research as well. What are your pain points as part of that conversation? Like, tell me about your art. We can talk all through it and then maybe have like a 5-minute break and we come into, okay, what do you hate about the software you're using? And that becomes the market research interview. So like, you know, an extra half hour of filming and we can have a little promo video that's a nice little art news piece, but then at the same time, feed stuff directly to our development team to go fix the problems on behalf of the artists out there. That's going to be the best part is, using an agile methodology and actually getting user stories into the hands of the development team, especially a development team that is dedicated artists themselves. That's how we're going to make a product that, one, you can trust, and two, that works the way you need it to, because it's, you know, for artists by artists kind of situation. So.
Absolutely. Okay. So I know a couple of people in our chat right now that would benefit from that. And Sunny is echoing that for sure, saying, I've been looking for something like this. Selling my art is hard. I just want to share it. Yes. And it sounds like this would be a really great avenue for that. For me, I am not totally clear on what I can and cannot do. So I have a couple of questions I'd like to ask.
Let's clarify.
Sure. So is there a way that someone can maybe donate to this? I know it's not yet a 501c3, but are you accepting donations for anything? Is there an established way that we can donate supplies to this ahead of that time? Or can you tell me a little bit more?
So don't have the ability to take donations right now. To some extent, until I have it founded and we actually have the nonprofit in place, I don't want to take any donations. This is going forward for me to found this. I'm planning to get this done by the summer or over the summer even, because I'm starting my semester up tomorrow, in fact. So I got other things going on for the moment. The best way, if you want to get in touch and keep in touch about the updates for the guild, is actually to get onto the Facebook group, the Twisted Artist Guild. It's just a public group that you can go join. Come talk about your art. Happy to add anybody that wants to send me long messages about the things they hate about business tools in the art realm. Like, please do that. I can't guarantee that I'll have immediate responses just because I have a 1,000 hobbies and, you know, about 3 things that you know, pay me to be there, so I have to go do those. but also I'm working on getting the website, so this conversation feels a little mildly premature. Everything is kind of broken right now with the development of the website. Gotta love that. It does respond if you go to twistedartistguild.com at least, but I'm having some versioning problems with the back-end software, so that is my next little project to fix now that I'm done with holiday travels and the kind of stuff. I'm going to start working towards I've got a meeting with somebody to talk about how we're going to found this. I have people identified to bring into the board, and I've talked to a number of them about when this is going to happen. I'd love to find some more people out there that are interested in becoming a part of this vision. Best way to come about that, go into the Facebook group, get chatty in there, and just say, hey, I'm interested, and let's go from there. Awesome. And then as we incorporate, as we're a legal entity and it's ethical at that point, we will start soliciting donations and asking for help for the community. But for right now, this is my idea. I'm going to help fund it. So I've got another friend I think might be interested as well. And I think between the two of us, we haven't, you know, it's not major startup costs. So this is something. The major advantage here is we're going to do the cloud services for the beginning of it. So it's until we start seeing a lot of growth, the costs are going to be very low. It's not going to be extensive. And myself, I'm going to be a volunteer for this until it gets going and I can actually retire from my corporate job into just going out there to advocate for artists on a full-time basis, call it 5 or 10 years away. So that's kind of the vision for the future. So give me a year and we'll start talking about needing some donations and eventually this will all work off of actually just a transactional fee. As somebody comes to the Artist Guild website and makes a purchase, then, you know, there's the 3% standard credit card fee, and then the guild would charge a fee on top of that. And from my research, up to a 3.5% additional fee on top of the transaction fee, you're still competitive with the main guys out there. So I don't think it's going to take that much when there's not somebody at the lead of this, the CEO, that's getting, you know, $32 million a year and then, you know, paid out because he gets laid off, and here's your extra $60 million, sir. We're going to be there because we're working on behalf of the artists to help them. It's a nonprofit, salary caps, like, that is going to be the thing. You know, that's why I'm not worried about talking about my amazing idea here on a podcast before I've actually founded it, because it's not the get rich scheme. This is go build a community and help it. Give people health insurance.
Yes. There's an idea now of bringing back things like third spaces, in order to build back a community in a given area, something like where you are inviting people in that, yes, is used for more primary purpose, but also has these other avenues for things. But it's with the intention of bringing a community more together, and offer up conversations between people, more support in a particular way. So I love this idea of being supportive in a different avenue with the intention of letting people prosper in something that they're passionate about.
Yep. There should be no reason in, you know, the modern automation society that we have to go do these dead end jobs all day. Not that my job's dead end. Sorry to my boss if he's watching this. But that's how a lot of people feel. One of the early pieces of market research I recorded in this, my friend Sequoria, who is an amazing circus performer, needles through her cheeks and everything, does it on a regular basis, you know, a professional performer, but still working at Starbucks 32 hours a week because that's where she qualifies for health insurance. So why can't we work at art 40 hours a week and get health insurance and 401ks and benefit from all of those benefits that we would have if we had that corporate job and wanted to stay there and work for a corporation for 20 years, even though we get laid off in 5. Like, let's go be our own entities. Let's go make art and let's do it responsibly, ethically, and make bank while we're doing it. Or just display your art at the same time. Like, I do want to be careful that it's not going to become this, you know, money making scheme where, you know, we're here to cram as much art down everybody's throats as we can. This is about the expression of the human spirit and how we can do that more, as opposed to worrying about all the little details about paying the government and all that crap. So, right, you know, go make art, go be human.
Can somebody clip that? Go make art, go be human.
So my guiding philosophy at this point, I just came up with it at that point, so it's now the 2024 mantra. Be human, make art.
Bob, 2024, go make art, be human.
Right. My hands are still sore from making art. Like, it was a good weekend.
Sunny said, taking care of people to allow them to express enjoy instead of pushing commercial viability. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Well said.
Exactly. I feel like I know we've had this conversation before in person, Sonny. So a year ago, in fact.
Let's see. Archer said, "Got my vote already." Yes.
Glad. I no plans to run for office ever, but I will certainly help to help a community and see if I can. I don't even want to be famous by this. Like, as much notoriety as this podcast will get me, that's all I ever need in my life. I want to be the guy behind the scenes that's, you know, helping filter the ideas to the right people and getting, you know, here's a project, let's go do this.
So as far as like looking towards the future, you said that you're looking towards the summer of getting this established, that you've got the Facebook group up and running. For yourself, for your own personal projects, I do want to ask, what are some things that you are currently working on that you'd like to let us know about?
Oh, goodness. I'm actually in a little bit of a hiatus for the next few months while I'm starting my semester and getting towards at the end of this year, I'll have my master's degree. My Bloom Festival that I love, it's near and dear to my heart, that's on hiatus this year as well. Mostly because I haven't built the software yet and I don't have the tools to help them to make their lives easier. So I think if I can get it done this year, and that's the motivation for getting it done this year, that I can go back to Charlotte next year for Bloom 2025. So that's probably my motivation, my next big project. Other than that, I do a monthly Fire Jam. It's not so much a performance, but it is, you know, a community event where we host people in San Antonio. Facebook group for that is San Antonio Flomies. So we teach people how to do fire, how to, and I perform there on a regular basis, and every once in a while they catch me DJing there as well. So that's my ongoing opportunity. So that's my probably two that I can speak to for the moment. I was not prepared for that question, Trey.
Sorry. Hey, okay. We love the work that you're doing, but we also want to make sure that we are doing our due diligence to support you.
Oh no, I want to be behind the curtain. Just look at me when I'm on fire, and that's it. Like, yeah, I'm just here to gather the ideas and put them in the right places. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, you've got a million-dollar idea that's on fire, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more about that, especially once it's up and running. For you mentioned, and I don't want to get too far away from this, but you mentioned that you're looking for some developers on the back end, some web designers, like a creative team to come on board.
Right.
So where can they get in contact with you? To either volunteer or to maybe talk about this beyond just the Facebook group.
Right. So twistedartistguild.com, there is an about section, and you can go in there and fill out a form. It's just a Google form at this point. If a developer's out there and they're interested, the problem I'm currently having is with Node.js's updates. We're on an Azure cloud platform where we have the Node.js app service. We are running an entity framework backend for the API and C#, and trying to make it all work together with the Node dynamic web pages. So that's where we've gotten to with the development over the past few years. It was working until updates happened. Where am I going with this? Back on track here. So basically, yeah, if you go to the website, you sign up for the form, you're interested. I don't want to ask necessarily people, the developers, to go work for. Yeah, thanks, Emily. She's saying how she loves all the last four sentences are totally over my head, but there's a few people out there like, I know exactly what that is, even though it was a little jumbled. Nonetheless, happy to have some people come in as advisors. I don't want to ask developers to work for free. It's like we're asking an artist to work for free, and that's just not working to do around here with the Artist Guild. So as soon as I can get incorporated, I've got a couple of people I have been working with, and I'll touch base with them. And then at that point, we're going to look to hire people on a contract. It's more so than asking for volunteer work for that. The guild, the board itself will be volunteer for the first little bit, but we're actually going to issue contracts and pay out for developers to come do quality work. So, but that's what I can start looking at doing about the summertime after I've had the opportunity to actually incorporate and throw my money in as the first donation and say, here we go, here's our budget. Mm-hmm. We'll go from there.
Perfect. And you had mentioned also for artists who use different platforms or use particular apps to come in and tell you what their pain points are, to really garner their input. Where's going to be the best place for them to talk about that with you?
That will be on the Artist Guild group on Facebook for the moment. That is where we come in, and I will come ask questions and ask clarifying questions to say, well, what if we did this? Just to give a quick example of that, if that works for you. This was from an in-person conversation, so I do have these conversations a lot with my friends as they start talking about, you know, how bad their day was. Well, why was your day bad? So one of the ideas we've had is when we're throwing a festival and there's a whole bunch of people that are hitting up the organizers because they know them personally and saying, hey, what time's the curtain? You know, where's parking? I've got all these other little concerns, which really they've tried what they could to put a knowledge base together to direct people to that knowledge base to answer those simple questions. The advantage here that we can do is bring AI together and use that as an advanced chat bot that will actually answer these questions based on the knowledge base. So on top of my front-end and back-end developers that we, of course, need, I am interested in talking to some people that can work with AI as well. Because I do, where I'm not going to use AI to make a creative engine that's going to make art to compete with the artists, we're going to use AI in intelligent ways to benefit artists and make them have to talk to less people if they want to, or turn it off if they want to, either way. So, I think I answered your question, but it's quite possible I rambled again.
Nope,
feel free to follow back up if you need to.
Well, for more questions about that, definitely visit the Twisted Artist Guild Facebook group for more information on that, and to definitely give your input. I will be honest that I have not used many applications before when it comes to that, but I'm also not as invested in that artistic scene as I would maybe like to be. So if you have input, please go talk to Bob. Please go talk with his creative team and become part of that community that we're working to support even more. Bob, I have just a couple last minute questions for you specifically before we wrap up here tonight. And that is, if you were able to have lunch with one creative person that you know about, they could be alive, they could be no longer with us, who would you like to have lunch with and why?
Oh, it may not be the most creative person in the world. Linus Torvalds is my weird answer to that. He's a coder. He actually invented Linux, the Linux kernel back in the 80s or 90s. So he's not creative, artistic necessarily, but he certainly changed the world in releasing a small piece of code and making it open source, and like that generated a whole counterculture in computers. And I work for Microsoft. We talked about that earlier, but I still love my Linux. It's, you know, I was a rebel growing up, so I would have lunch with Linus Torvalds. It's my hero.
Okay, so I had a friend of mine that actually introduced me to Linux. He's very much into software and engineering from that aspect. Does a whole lot of, well, I actually don't want to mention too much of what he does in case he doesn't want to talk about it publicly. But the overview of what he does is work with a lot of software in order to make sure that point A is talking to point B, and point B is talking with the network of people that it needs to be talking to. And so one night when I was over at his house, he was actually booting up a system that he had loaded Linux onto. I was like, I want to see how you do just interacting with this. I'm like, what is this?
All on the black screen and the white text. And you're like, what do I do? And then none of your, like, even if you had played with any of that on Windows, none of the commands work because it's different. Yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
But at least I can say that I've interacted with Linux before. I have not mastered it at all. Yeah. But when he talked to me about the things that it could do and showed me some of the operating system, that was really cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to echo Emily in our chat and say that is a really good answer. The other question I want to know is if there's anyone that is looking to become a creative with the Twisted Artist Guild, or someone that is looking to become an artist in general, what advice would you give to them?
Start simple. Don't think that you're gonna try to go make $1 million a year. That actually takes a lot of work to come up to that. I'm pursuing my art as a side gig because I don't want to get burnt out on it. I tried to go relatively full time as a tie-dye artist back in the day, and it's hard to do at $20 an item, 25, and I started feeling like my prices were too expensive. So spend the time, look at the market, and actually it does take a business acumen to be a successful professional business, professional artist. So go take a community college class, learn how to do accounting, like learn the business aspect while also developing your art. I think the art is way more important, but if you're trying to be a professional and trying to do this full time, there is a business aspect. Eventually, with time, I'm going to automate that for you. That's the idea I have behind the guild, but it's going to take me some time. Let me get through my master's degree. We'll get this founded. 5 years, we'll have this thing that's going to be this monster, and you won't be able to stop talking about it because it's this anti-capitalist, like, let's go make a community thrive idea that's going to take off. So let's keep doing this on a regular basis, and we'll have updates on where the guild's at.
Yes.
We'll watch it grow.
My last question here before we exit here. For yourself, how do you define success? And what, actually, I'll say, I actually have two questions. I'm sorry. You've just given me a lot
That's
of really good
fine.
information.
Ask away, no problem.
One, how do you define success?
Okay. If I worked really hard at it and I had a good time with it, it's an enjoyment. Success for me isn't about the money or anything like that. It's whether it was an experience and whether that experience was a good one.
It's we talked to a lot of artists who have talked to us about burnout before, and it's real, it's a real thing. So as long as you've had fun doing it, that is success. I
Right.
love that.
And sometimes it's that's despite the burnout. I did have a good time even though I'm exhausted.
Yes.
So that's where I'm currently at, and also starting my semester tomorrow. Oh boy.
Breathe. You got this. Breathe.
I do. I'm a million miles a minute. We'll get it done. We'll get it done. It's a passion. I can't help myself at this point. We'll get it done.
My last question for this evening, before we wrap up, is what is one thing about what you're currently working on that makes you just go, yes?
It's being between the fire, that whoosh, especially my dragon staff. So I don't know if the listeners have seen my picture that we put on the advertisement for this, but that's the dragon staff right there. So it spins along its axis. So it's just this whooshing that goes like right past my ears. That is the most yes moment that I could ever ask for because I love that feeling.
Okay, if you could ever like record that and then post that somewhere, I
I
would
never thought
love
about
to hear that. Just a
that. Oh man.
little
Okay,
microphone or something.
yeah, I might have some from the side that you can actually hear the effect, but it's yeah, from the center where it's in stereo too. Yeah, that's something to record. I'll work on that. That's a good art project, actually. I like
Sorry.
Oh,
Now this
I'll
is
put it
just
out there as samples and see if we can't get somebody to make it into like a drum and bass track. Let's do this. Hey, Tristan. Talk to somebody.
Well, for I will also put it out there. If anyone would like to help get in touch, or if anyone is currently a DJ and would like to maybe make that into a track, you can email us at please sponsor us. We love you at themodrom.com, and we can definitely get you in touch with Bob here. Bob, it has been such a pleasure having you on the podcast with us tonight. The journey that you've had from project manager now all the way up through creating such a supportive community of artists, I look forward to talking to you in the next year, year and a half, 2 years, and see what kind of journey that you've had along that way.
Big things are coming. I started this master's degree specifically to go make an artist guild from it. So I'm almost done with that, and then take in that experience, and we're gonna make big things happen. Also, yeah. I gotta say hey to Anna in chat. Thanks for joining, Anna. I love you.
Hi, Anna. I don't know you, but we also love you here.
It's amazing.
Well, as we close this episode out, this episode, along with probably every other episode forever and ever, will be in dedication to Joe Capone, our moderator, fellow comedian, encourager, and greatly missed friend. You can find us pretty much wherever you tune into podcasts. Search for Modern Romantic. And then you can follow us on social media for updates, announcements, and more. Thanks, everybody. And don't forget to make art happen. Go be human.
Go be human.
Bye, everybody.
Vibes, man. Vibes.
Vibes. Bye.